Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's National Small Business Week. More than 30 million small businesses help fuel the national economy. In South Dakota, that might mean an internet startup, a downtown retail boutique, or a brand new irrigation business. For many across the state, a small business might help keep the family farm afloat. Jeff Eckhoff is State Director for the South Dakota Small Business Development Center. He joins us on the line now. Jeff, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Lori.
Tell us an overview of what the South Dakota Small Business Development Center does.
Sure. We are an outreach program of the Beacom School of Business at the University of South Dakota, and we're part of a national network. We provide business consulting to small businesses statewide. We have 7 offices across the state. We do business plans. We give advice on organizational structure, and we do financial projections and try to help our clients get their package together so they can go to the bank to be funded.
I was on your website. So many different programs that you offer that are really quite specific. What's new that people might not know about?
Well, we're unique in that we have actually 3 federal programs under one roof. In a lot of states, they would all be separate. So in addition to the SBDC, the business consulting, we have specialty counselors that work with government contracting, international trade, and with early stage research grants. And probably the newest thing we have is with our manufacturing and technology solutions program, we're getting into a whole new automation, helping companies automate, particularly in the more rural areas, to help with the labor force issues and some of the training issues that they're having with entry-level employees.
Talk to me a little bit about this year in South Dakota for small business. We've seen, issues with trade and tariffs sort of start being discussed, although not everything has come down as far as how that's all going to land. But then we've also seen tax reform. So what are some of the early signs of how tax reform is affecting small business owners in the state?
Yeah, that's a great question, Lori. You know, we'll have to see how that all plays out. I mean, obviously anything that can alleviate overhead for our small businesses is beneficial, especially the smaller ones. You know, every dollar really counts for them. And hopefully, you know, when it all plays out, it'll be meaningful reform for them, and obviously there'll be some benefit to them for that.
Once someone can come to you and try to get help into launching that business, is there a network then afterwards so that they can continue to talk to each other, make those connections now that it might be time to grow or take your business to a different level?
Exactly. That's actually a great question. We do, I think a lot of people look to us and think of us as assistance for startups, but we really do offer a lot for our ongoing clients too. And so about half of our clients through all of our programs are existing businesses. And you're exactly right. They come to us at times when they want to grow. Maybe they're getting to refinance the building or add on some equipment or that type of thing, and we see them. We also have customers or clients come back on an annual basis and just kind of want to talk things through and get some advice and help us look through their financials, and it'll help them to make sure they're staying on track.
What are some of those things that, if you're thinking of starting a business or growing your business, that you really need to have, have down?
Well, you know, the 2 things I think that are, if you want to call them mistakes or the biggest obstacles people don't always plan enough for, one is capital. You can never have enough cash to get you through the tough times. I think oftentimes, especially starting a business, it starts slower than people anticipate. So capital is important. And then the other thing would be organizational structure or your team around you. Oftentimes people, they're a great salesperson or they're great at cooking, and they have these great skills, and they don't think about the other side of it. Who's going to manage the financial side of it? Who's going to manage if they're a staff? And so that expertise in building a good team around them is often overlooked.
Is South Dakota a business-friendly state? What are some of the opportunities here?
Well, I think the opportunities, affordable to start up a business. And I think you've seen a lot of ratings where South Dakota is rated high on that. There's a fair amount of capital around to help people with good ideas and good solid plans. I think right now our biggest barrier is workforce.
Mm. Let's talk about that, because that, you know, when you talk to the governor and everyone from the governor's office, lawmakers, definitely universities and colleges, tech schools, everyone's talking about workforce development. How big is the challenge for small business owners from their perspective?
Well, I think, small business owners, it's like anything. It depends on where they're looking. If you're looking for one or two employees, a lot of times you'll have a network of people and you'll be able to find those. Mm. But as you scale up, and particularly if you're a service industry and you're looking at shifts and weekends and nights and those type of things, all those are just more difficult to fill. And there's a lot of companies that growth is inhibited right now because they just can't find the employees. And you hear stories every day where companies are turning down work because they're not sure they can scale up to meet it.
Wow. What kind of partnerships or collaborations or initiatives do you have at the Small Business Development Center to sort of address or be part of solving that problem?
The primary thing we're working on right now, and it's a partnership between ourselves and the Governor's Office of Economic Development. It's more specific in our manufacturing area. And we're introducing technology through the use of collaborative robots, which are smaller, affordable, more safe robotics that can do multiple tasks. And what we're really trying to do is introduce those into companies to help them be more efficient, do some of the very entry-level tasks that they have problems finding people to do and having more problems retaining people. Mm. And then they can take the employees they have and train them for higher-level skills or to maybe program and work with two or three of these collaborative robots at one time. So it increases efficiency and it helps with the workforce demand. That's kind of our new initiative. We're just kind of getting pushed off with that now.
Collaborative robots. Mm-hmm. All right, give me an example, because that sounds kind of...
So I think everybody has a picture of robotics in, right, in manufacturing. High speed, these things move at really fast speeds. And that would be what we call a high-speed, low mix. So they're doing the same thing over and over all day long.
Okay.
The collaborative robots are smaller. They look a lot like the Lost in Space robot, you know.
Okay.
They have one or two arms.
Yeah.
And you can program them. They do high mix, low speed. And so they're meant to work next to people. You don't need the safety cages. You don't need the light curtains or the different things you often would do because they move at a slower pace. If they would happen to run into a person, they would stop.
Sure.
They're very easy to program, and they're a low cost. Instead of hundreds of thousands of dollars, you're looking at $30,000 to $40,000 for one robot.
What are they capable of? What kind of tasks?
They're equipped with, so you can program it to move things, to pack things. They come with vision, so they can do some inspections. So, for example, we're working with a company that makes cartridges that have, and it'll take the cartridge, it'll look at it, it'll see if there's a plug that has to go in it to make sure that everything stays in it, and then that's an inspection point, and if it's good, then they'll pack it in a box.
Interesting. So you go to the hospital, and there's that little robot that's, like, bringing supplies here to there, and it has a sign saying, you know, let me on the elevator.
Yeah.
Right? For real.
Yeah.
That's the same idea. They're doing something that, would be an entry-level job, pretty much,
right,
carrying supplies from floor to floor.
Right.
Am I on the right track?
Yeah, you are. That's the next stage is we are taking the robots and pairing them with the autonomous vehicles so they can be mobile through the plant. If you go to some of these big manufacturing plants, it's amazing. You see all these autonomous robots and carts going through the plant delivering materials.
Interesting. Jumping topics a little bit, South Dakota v. Wayfair and the notion of the court case in front of the Supreme Court, still waiting, of course, to hear.
Mm-hmm.
What's the climate of that in South Dakota? How are small business owners really looking at that, waiting for that decision?
Well, I think it's going to be a good thing for everybody because of the amount of money it's going to bring in for the state, things it can do to help build communities back up, and, you know, sales tax is such a huge part of a municipal government's funding source. And I think that infrastructure that cities are now allowed to reinvest in themselves will help small businesses. You know, a lot of our small businesses do sell primarily in state, do sell a lot of face-to-face. Obviously, that won't affect them. But overall, it should help put our small businesses on a level playing field with the out-of-state business a little bit more.
What kind of work is being done to sort of keep those recent high school graduates in state, either, you know, in the workforce or for their education, and then to keep recent college graduates in state to you know, innovate, to start a small business? How do you approach that?
You know, it's really interesting. We're seeing a lot more. First of all, for those that we're trying to keep in the state, I think we're seeing a lot more of the entrepreneurial type things, business idea, business plan contests, a much higher awareness of entrepreneurships and opportunities to be your own mm-hmm. business is happening middle school on up. And so, and there's a lot of efforts coming from the tech schools, coming from the Department of Labor. We have a program we run called Dream It, Do It, where we work with middle school kids trying to make them aware of opportunities in the manufacturing world. The Building Dakota Scholarships, I mean, all those things come together. But it is a complicated puzzle with lots of moving pieces.
Yeah. Why manufacturing? Why the emphasis on that right now?
Well, some of it is just the funding that we, for us, we have a program specifically funded to it. I think with manufacturing, if you think about an economy, you think about what the multiplier effect is, jobs that add value. So the biggest multiplier comes from ag, because you take a natural resource that's grown here, you process it, you add value to it, and you sell it down. So all those touch points add value. Same with manufacturing. You take a piece of metal, you make something out of it, the skills of that person add value, and then you sell it to people from all over the country. And so I think that making something or growing something is really the core of an economy, kind of the base of it. And then everything else, you know, helps fill in around that. And I think that's a lot of the reason why we set emphasis these days. And that particular sector has been growing recently.
Do we have a balance from the people who come in, or the people who want to come from another state and sort of take advantage of the tax climate here, for example? Do we have a balance between folks who want to do manufacturing or research or tech companies or retail? Is that important to think about, or you just sort of does that happen naturally?
No, I think it's incredible. I think you hit on a great point. It's incredibly important to think about it and to be intentional. So for example, the whole biotech industry has been very intentional for the last two governors have worked hard on that. You see some of that with the Discovery District here in Sioux Falls and the Innovation Campus up in Brookings. They're really working hard to, and that's a coordinated effort, higher ed to build the workforce and the healthcare industry, as well as the universities for the research side of it. And it's kind of a game changer, because they're great jobs, they're high paying, they're high skill. It really gives an opportunity for a lot of our best and brightest graduates to stay or to return to South Dakota.
Mm. Jeff, what's your background?
So I've been the state director here for 6 years, and prior to that I spent over 15 years with economic development, with the Lincoln and Minnehaha County Economic Development Association out of Sioux Falls.
All right. Anything else that I didn't ask you that you think is important to mention on Small Business Week?
No, I would just leave you with this, that in South Dakota, and this is using the SBA definition of small businesses, which are those under 500. 99% of the businesses, or over 84,000 businesses in South Dakota, are considered small businesses.
Wow.
And they create almost 60% of the jobs.
How valuable is the consumer in this equation, really seeking out small business to do business with?
It's obviously, it's everything. It's where the sales are. In particular, our small Main Street businesses. You know, I think two things. On the consumer side, it's never been more important to shop locally if you can, to support that effort. And on the business side, it's important that they stay in touch and provide unique and authentic opportunities so people do want to shop at home.
Mm. Jeff Eckhoff, State Director for the South Dakota Small Business Development Center, thanks so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lori. Have a great day.